The first three of the four New Testament Gospels are called the Synoptics. The Synoptic Gospels are so called because they have so very much in common, often repeating the same information and, in many cases, actually word for word, identical one with another. Of the many repetitions within the Synoptic Gospels can be counted the parable of the mustard seed, appearing in all three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And I invite you to follow with me in the reading of the same parable recorded by three different authors. First from Matthew 13, verses 31 and 32. And as you listen and read, I invite you to take special personal note of the similarities and differences of the different records. First, Matthew writes in Matthew 13, verses 31 and 32, that another parable he put before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches." Next, in Mark 4, verses 30 to 32. "And he said, 'With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all the shrubs, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade.'" And then in Luke 13, verses 18 and 19. "He said, therefore, 'What is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his garden. And it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches.'" Some people read what we have read, and they see problems. They see the problem of what seems to be an inaccuracy in the words of Jesus, in that he refers to the mustard seed as the smallest of all seeds. And yet those who may have a simple college education in the simplest of scientific research can quickly come to the conclusion that the mustard seed is not the smallest of all seeds. There are many others that are far smaller. In fact, there were some even that were smaller and popular in Jesus' day in Palestine. Does that not then undermine the credibility of Jesus Christ if he is not scientifically accurate and refers to the mustard seed as the smallest of all the seeds in the world when in fact it is not the smallest? Another problem that some see as they hear these words has to do with the seeming contradictions or differences in the various records. For example, in Luke, the full-grown plant is called a tree. In Mark, it's called a shrub. And in Matthew, it's called both a shrub and a tree. Or the fact that in Matthew and Luke, the birds are making nests in the branches, but in Mark, they're not making nests in the branches, they're making nests in the shade. Or the fact that in Matthew, Jesus refers to the kingdom of heaven, but in Mark and in Luke, he refers to the kingdom of God. Now, those differences may not seem too significant, and you, in fact, may not have even noticed the differences, but there are those scholars who would say, "We wonder which Jesus actually said." If we have three authors and we claim for them infallibility given from God in the right recording of the words of Jesus, and there are in fact different records of what he said, which did he say? And which is correct, if in fact any of them are correct? Well, let's try to answer problem number one. We need to understand that Jesus is not here speaking scientifically, but rather is speaking culturally. And that in the first century, it was a common expression to refer to that which was small as being the size of the mustard seed. It was an everyday point of conversation. That's something that we frequently do. There are certain parts of our country where we refer to someone as being young and short of stature as being knee-high to a grasshopper. Now you imagine 2,000 years from now, some ultra-scientific person reading that saying, my, they either had extraordinarily short people back in 1987, or that was an amazingly pre-scientific era. Except we know what we mean by that. We do not contend that our children are knee-high to a grasshopper, nor do we have very large grasshoppers. It's merely part of a culture, an expression, not intended to be, nor understood then to be, a scientific communication. What about what may seem to be a more serious problem? What about the fact that here Jesus refers to the kingdom of heaven and there he refers to the kingdom of God? What about the fact that in one place it's a tree, in another place it's a shrub, and in a third place it's a shrub and a tree? Are these simply interchangeable parts? And indeed, they obviously must be. But what about the greater concern of the accuracy that Jesus said one thing and the gospel writers record three things? Well, again, we have to understand the context in which Jesus communicated. We need to remember that he was an itinerant preacher and that he used the same stories and the same lessons in different villages and different cities. And that while he kept the essence of his truth the same, he adapted to the particular audience which he was addressing. Again, we do that in our society, in our culture. Later on this week, I'll be speaking to a retreat of U.S. military personnel, and it's my intention to use some of the messages that were used here at Wooddale Church in the Inside Out series. And while the outlines will be essentially the same and the basic core of truth communicated will be identical, there will be differences in expressions and adaptations by choice, seeking to adapt to the military community rather than to our suburban and civilian community. It all depends upon the context in which we speak. Well, if those solve the problems, what of the rest of us who are the readers of these scriptures who see not the problems but instead hear the parable? The parable that Jesus taught that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. How is it like a mustard seed? Well, it's like a mustard seed in that a mustard seed starts small. I'm told that there are about 100 different mustard seeds that have been classified, and that in all probability, the mustard seed which Jesus may have held in his hand when he variously spoke the parable was in all probability different than what we commonly refer to as a mustard seed here in America today. But in every case, it's a small seed. So no matter which one was held, it was tiny by weight, by size, by sight, by touch, by all the measurements, it was small. But when Jesus looked at it, he saw not the smallness of it, but the potential of it. He saw not the way it was, but the way it could be. It could be a bush that was so big that it would be called a tree simply because of its size. That little seed had the potential to become something so big that the birds would come and live in it. So large in size when full grown that it would be able to block out the heat and the brightness of the desert sun, and its shade would become a place of shelter for the animals of the desert. He could see all of that that was great in that which was so small. That's just like Jesus. Just like Jesus, to see us not for what we are, but for what we can be. To look at a baby, and while delighting in the smallness, also seeing the potential. Imagining what that child can be as an adult. Or pointing to an ordinary child in an ordinary family and seeing there the potential to be a spiritual giant. It's just like Jesus. To focus in on an adolescent who is having such great difficulty in discovering her or his identity, and to see in that mustard seed of a life a giant of a woman or a man of God. It's just like Jesus to look at our tiny little faith, yours and mine, and to dream dreams of potential and fulfillment of that faith that we could never imagine. It's just like Jesus to see the solitary missionary go to some obscure, out-of-the-way place and there be planted, many would say, only to die, only to be forgotten. But Jesus sees the potential in that seed of a life to grow up and expand until a movement takes place, and eventually that which there takes place becomes itself a place of sending out missionaries to other cultures and to other countries. It's just like Jesus to see what can be rather than what is in all that is small. And that's what the kingdom of God is like. It's like a tiny mustard seed that can and will grow beyond anything that ever could be imagined if you were only to limit yourself to the sight of the seed. Oh, others may think it awfully small. Others may classify it as worthless. But when Jesus looks at it, he sees it as that which is invaluable and full of hope. What are the mustard seeds of the kingdom of God in your life? Is the influence of God so little that even with a magnifying glass it's hard to find? Would you say that your faith is so small that you struggle to trust God for almost anything at all? Might you say that your knowledge of God's Word is so minuscule that you don't even know where the books of the Bible are, and when they're quoted in a sermon, you wouldn't even try to find where they're located because you wouldn't make it until it's over? Do you discover sometimes when you look at your own Christian life that it seems to be almost nothing because it's so small? And did you know that it is in that tininess of faith, in that little bit of knowledge, in that minuscule little aspect of Christian life that is yours, that Jesus Christ sees the potential not from what is but what could be? And ought we not close our eyes to what we see that is so little and open them again to see our lives and to see the mustard seeds in them as Jesus sees? Not what they are, but what they can grow to be. And then take note that no matter how great the potential, an unsown seed will never grow. Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed which a man took and sowed in the field. If the farmer didn't know, or the farmer didn't at least have the hope for growth, he would never sow a mustard seed. And why would he do a thing like that? Insignificant, inconsequential, no prospect to it, not even of particularly good taste. Why would he do that? Unless he had faith, unless he knew, unless he had hope. And that, too, is like the kingdom of God. For you wouldn't normally think that sowing the kingdom of God would make that much difference in a person's life or in society. Did you read in yesterday's newspaper the statistics on church attendance in America? That 60-some percent of our population regularly attends church or synagogue. And then you think of those others, the 30-some, nearly 40% who never do. Not that they're atheists, not that they're hostile toward God or Scripture or church. They just don't see any point to it. They don't see any significance. They can't imagine that the rule of God in their lives would change how much they earn or make any difference in their career or affect their company or alter their marriage or their family. It's not that they're against God or His kingdom. It's just that God and His kingdom is so little, so unmeaningful. What's the point of it all? It's just too insignificant for the real world in which we live, unless we hear the word of Jesus. Unless we hear Jesus say that that which is so small can become great. Unless we give ear to the parable. And then and only then are we likely to sow the seed as the farmer did in Matthew 13. Only then are we likely to dig deep and plant into our careers and into our families, into our daily lives, that which has only a potential for some distant point in time, convinced that God indeed does know what He is talking about. For you see, when we know and when we believe what Jesus says, then we do like that parable says. We plant the small, insignificant seed of God's Word wherever and whenever we can, and we see the great future rather than the small present. We recognize the divine significance rather than our human insignificance, and we sow that seemingly insignificant, not because we can see it in the seed, but because we believe Jesus. Now, to me at least, there is great, great practical encouragement in this parable. Great encouragement for those who are teachers, those who teach Sunday school here at Wooddale or elsewhere, who teach adults or children or work in a nursery or in a club program, or maybe we should take a survey. How many of you are involved in some way as teachers in one of those types of categories? Just put up your hand. Great. Okay, we took a quick picture of the rest, and there are sign-up sheets that are at the door when you go out because you're missing out on a great opportunity. But to those of you who are teachers, don't you have those times when you think that the seed that you are sowing is insignificant and doesn't make much difference? Don't you wonder if the verse that you're trying to get that child to learn isn't completely forgotten before the parking lot is touched on the way out? Don't you have days when you teach a lesson to a child or even to an adult, and you wonder if anyone has listened or anyone cares or it will ever make any difference at all? Aren't those times maybe too frequent to admit when the investment of the week gone by in preparation or the sacrifice of a Sunday morning away from friends in a congregation or all of the things that we'd rather be doing, don't we think that maybe that would be energy and time misspent, that there really isn't much significance at all to sowing the seed of the kingdom, which is so small and won't make much difference? Or what if those that are here this morning who are business persons, you're in the company, or you work for the small business, or maybe even the government, and you have your doubts that the seeds of the kingdom that come out of you to be sown in the context of employment are really worth the effort. You listen and hear all of the foul language about you and build up what you think is something of a reputation for being one of the few clean-mouthed people who are in your particular department, but then you wonder if anybody ever listens to what you have to say anyway, and what difference does it make? Or there are others who maybe even on occasion have become angry with you because you work so diligently and hard at times when other people goof off, and they don't see that as a plus, but they see that as you showing them up. Or where there is at least pilferage, minor dishonesty that is part of the everyday ebb and flow of the business community, and you stand against it, and you are particularly careful in the scruples of integrity in your business relationships, and nobody ever seems to care. It seems to be so small. And you wonder if it matters, if it will ever make any difference. You wonder if changing a figure or two or doing this or that really, if anything, perhaps is counterproductive and even a disadvantage. So small, so insignificant. And what of parents? Parents who become discouraged in trying to shape their children's lives, who repeatedly pray for them and can't even seem to get their children to keep their eyes closed when they're praying, which parents can only find out by opening their eyes, and the whole thing just seems to unravel right there on the spot. It's just a terrible problem, this business of parenting. And you try to have them understand Christian truth, and you worry, and you work, and you pray, and all this. And you say to yourself, well, what difference is it going to make? What difference does it make when here I'm sowing this seed 365 days of the year and it doesn't even seem to take root? I wonder if ever it will sprout up. Nothing seems to work and there never seem to be any positive returns. But it's not just Sunday school teachers and business persons and parents. It's all of us who wonder if the little seeds of God's truth, the little seeds of God's kingdom that we have in our lives and we seek to plant in other people's lives will ever be significant. And we all need to hear what Jesus says, that the kingdom is like a grain of mustard seed which a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. That which starts small, Jesus says, grows large. And so he explains that the mustard seed grows big. And the people then understood that. They understood it, I'm told, because there are at least some instances where the tiny mustard seed grows up into a bush as much as 12 feet tall. Now, I stand 6 feet tall. It's twice as high as I am from a little seed. No wonder people don't refer to it as a bush. It's no wonder that people call it instead a tree because it grows so big. And in this, Jesus seems to take a very special delight. I think that's why he chose this particular analogy. Because he delights in that which starts so small and is so insignificant and grows to be so great. So that in Jesus' mind, there seems to be something of a correlation between goodness and greatness. Now, with that, many people disagree. For there are many who would say that cannot be. In fact, there are some who would say that smallness is parallel with goodness, who would argue that when we are faithful to God and when we walk in integrity, nothing can ever become successful, nor can anything ever grow great. There are those who would contend that greatness is always an evidence of evil and compromise. And so they build something of a fortress mentality that seeks to bring us closer and closer in and smaller, and that then seems to be, to their way of thinking, an evidence of purity and goodness. There are those who disdain a church that is very large, thinking that that is not the biblical norm and that is not the way it should be. But that's not the way Jesus here thinks. He teaches that the greatness of the kingdom of God is something wonderfully good, that it ought to be that way. It's supposed to be the norm rather than the exception. Now, to be sure, this is not to say that bigger is always better, because it's not. If we'll analyze it, if we'll give thought to it, we'll certainly see that it's possible to be sinfully great and it's possible to be sinfully small, just as it is possible to be righteously great and it is possible to be righteously small. But it is to say that Jesus here teaches that a kingdom grows good and a kingdom grows great. Fascinating story comes from a woman named Rui Juan Xiu, who has lived her life under difficult circumstances in mainland China. An avowed Christian, someone who has diligently sought to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, made particularly difficult perhaps by the fact that she's a scientist. How difficult it was is shown in a recent quote from an article in which she said, "I have never denied my faith or my background, a fact that has caused many difficult moments and suffering. Especially hard to succeed in a communist country as a believer, especially during the tumultuous changes that have come to China since the late 1940s. Just a little seed in a huge and populous land, a seed for the kingdom of God, but faithful. Faithful until Rui Juan Xiao has become a world-renowned scientist in microcirculatory systems and for 1986 was named by her government as the Woman of the Year for the People's Republic of China. Just like the mustard seed, the kingdom of God grew in a woman and in a way and in a testimony that seemed so small and insignificant until her fame and testimony have become great and good." The goodness of greatness. Now, when the parable begins, the mustard seed is tiny. And when the parable ends, it has become so big that it's called a tree and the birds are living among its branches. And Jesus says, that's the way God's kingdom is. Yet it takes faith. It takes a lot of faith to believe that even God can do such a miracle from something so little. Do you believe? Do you believe that God can grow the little mustard seed in your life to be something good and great? Do you believe that he could take your little witness and use it to revolutionize your neighborhood? Do you believe that that tiny, seemingly insignificant faith in your life could transform your place of business and this church and our world as that tiny microscopic seed grows and grows and grows to fulfill the dreams of God? Do you believe? William Barclay tells the story of people that came from all over the world to talk about the spread of the gospel, and the focus of the conversation was how they could use propaganda, particularly literature and broadcast, to spread the gospel. And when they had talked long, it was a young girl from Africa who said, "Well, when we want to take Christianity to one of our villages, we don't send them books. We take a Christian family and send them there to live in the village, and they make the village Christian by living there." Now there's a woman, a young African woman, who understands the miracle of the mustard seed. She knew what Jesus meant when he said that the kingdom of God is like a grain of mustard seed which a man took and sowed in his fields. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. That African girl, she understood the parable. Do we? Do you? This morning when you came into this service, attached to the outside of your bulletin was a mustard seed. It's so little you may not have even noticed it. Some who are the fidgety type have already picked it off, and those have wondered where it went, because somehow in the fingering of it, it has slipped down into a cuff of pants, preferably your own and not the person next to you. And for some, it is in the seam of the seat upon which you sit, and for others, you think it's somewhere in the nap of the great carpet between your left and right foot. And for others, frankly, it's just nothing. And you'll leave the bulletin behind there in the seat because it's insignificant. It just doesn't matter. Or you'll throw it away in one of the trash receptacles before you leave the building, or toss it away when you get home. It's so small and life is so busy. It's so insignificant. It just doesn't matter. Do you know that your mustard seed is like the kingdom of God? It seems so small. So little, so insignificant. Your mustard seed is your witness, your teaching, your faith, your life, God's word. So little, so seemingly insignificant, but once planted, has the potential to become the greatest.